Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the Dale and Keith Show.
I'm guaranteeing the Boston Celtics win tonight.
Hello. Welcome back. Looks like you got some rest. Jaylen Brown.
Remember where you are, so you remember where you are.
Dale Arnold.
You know, they crucified Martin Luther King for speaking about peace and social integration. They're still going to talk shit. I know what I stand for.
What? No!
Rich Keefe.
Did you go to the Chargers?
It's Tennessee.
For the Las Vegas Raiders.
Leave Tom Brady's name out your mouth.
Dale and Keefe, middays.
Can you really walk away from Ryan Tannehill?
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
And they're just... Yeah, it's one of those things where you don't have a driving story for the day, but you have like 10 different stories.
There's a lot going on.
A There's potpourri? There's a lot of stuff.
Dill?
That's the very word. The very word we were seeking.
Yes, a potpourri.
Thank you, Rich.
Potent potables for 100.
And at some point today, we'll have a Kiefer Madness that will likely involve excretory function.
I don't like to tip my hand too much when it comes to that kind of thing, but there's a better chance than not that it could.
Nothing
to find
out.
Nope.
So I have to admit I felt a little nervous about the Celtics' chances last night going into a Lakers game based on their most recent track record.
Yes.
So getting a win would have been a happy occasion. But a win by 32?
How about a blowout win? And it was like, I want to say it was 8-0 before you could even sit down, Lakers.
Right? And you're thinking,
oh, here we go. Like these guys, and they were just getting dominated down low, and you're like, this isn't going to go. And then from that moment, it turned around. Gordon Hayward hit a three to score their first points, and it was one of those shot clocks kind of winding down 3 or 4 feet behind the arc from the top of the key, and he drills it. And really, from that moment on, they turned the whole thing around, and they looked great. And it wasn't just the last couple of games. They had lost 6 of their last 8, and the 2 wins were against bad teams.
And their own coach was questioning their effort.
The effort thing, I mean, you're losing to Phoenix, and I know that, you know, Devin Booker always kills them, but still, you lost to Phoenix. You look over this recent stretch. Since they've gone into January, they lost to the Wizards without Bradley Beal. They lost at home to the Spurs. They lost to the Sixers without Joel Embiid. They lost to the Pistons without three-fifths of their starting lineup.
Yep.
They lose to Milwaukee. Fine. No shame in that. It's in Milwaukee. And then they lose to Phoenix at home. And the Celtics were a really, really good home team. And then they had some really head-scratching losses over the stretch. So now in come the Lakers. And Anthony Davis is playing. You know, going into the day, Anthony Davis and Kemba Walker and Jaylen Brown were all questionable. But good news for really just sports fans. Like, all those guys played. So you're like, all right, here we go. This is what the Lakers are. This is what the Celtics are. Let's see how they match up. And the Celtics just dominated. I mean, Enes Kanter played great. I mean, he was getting offensive rebound. They were getting a ton of boards in this game. Like, this was just a really complete effort from the Celtics.
So there are times when you'll lose a game and you'll say, hey, you know what? It was one of those nights. You know, every team has them over the course of 82.
Yeah.
It was one of those nights. Is it fair to say it about a win? A 32-point win against one of the best teams in the NBA. Can you just say, you know what? It was one of those nights. The Lakers just could not get it done, and you had everything. You had everything rolling.
I think there is something to that. And I think Brad Stevens kind of said it right after the game when he said, "We're not going to get too low after the Suns loss, so we can't get too high after the Lakers win."
Yep.
And you hope that the players kind of get that point of it too, because it is. It's a win in January. It's really nice. I'm not going to sit here and say, "Ooh, you know, Eastern Conference championship game is back on." But at least it shows you what they're capable of. It does make me feel a little bit better about this recent stretch. They're capable of this. Because it was kind of slipping. It was kind of going the wrong way. Now, they can't play down to the level of competition, though. Right? Because that, I think, is one of the arguments you could start to make is, all right, well, some of these bad teams, they just flat out lost. Or they would dig themselves these big holes, and then they would even come back and win. But you were saying, what was going on? But to play, the Lakers, who have been the best team in the Western Conference And a really, really good road team. Like, yes. Going into last night, the Lakers were 18-3 on the road. So that was a really impressive win for the Celtics. I do think when you really see the Lakers up close, I mean, it's LeBron and Anthony Davis. That's it. That is not a great team.
Two superstars, yeah. But it seems like the supporting cast is lacking.
I don't like the supporting cast at all. I mean, Kyle Kuzma's had some good games. He actually played well when Anthony Davis was injured. He averaged like 20 points a game in the starting lineup. He's now coming off the bench. But think about their team. It's JaVale McGee. It's Avery Bradley and Danny Green. All like very like super complimentary players. And they're all in the starting lineup. So, I mean, but they have the best record in the Western Conference. And so it's a big win for the Celtics. I'm just thinking like long term, I'm like, is this Lakers team really going to be competing for a championship? Because it is solely reliant on two players.
So one of the big storylines yesterday and last night was the fact that LeBron James, arguably the best player in the world, took the opportunity to hop on a helicopter here in Boston, flew to Springfield. His son, Bronny, was playing in a prep school tournament at Springfield College. He took the opportunity. He flew out there. He watched his son play, hopped on the helicopter, flew back to Boston, and obviously, you know, was there in time for the game.
Mm-hmm.
So Chris Gasper asked Rajon Rondo after the game about the whole idea of, you know, LeBron James carving out time to go watch his kid play. And Rajon's response was, quote, "That's awesome. I'm a father myself. My son, my kids are active in sports. I told him at shoot-around that the NBA did a hell of a job of scheduling your son and your game here in Boston. So kudos to him. I'm happy for him. I won't be playing probably when my son gets that age. But like I said, anytime you can do that as a dad, it's an unbelievable feeling." And when I read this in Gasper's piece, I thought, was there criticism somewhere that he did this?
I don't know. I mean, as long as he's not using it as an excuse.
And I never heard him say that at all.
I don't think that he did. If it was one of those things where like, oh, you know, I got to the gym at this time and I normally get here at this time or something.
My timing was off.
That'd be the only time I would say, well, you did that to yourself, didn't you? Like, what do you want us to do? But yeah, if he wants to go watch his son play and then go to the game, that's fine. Like,
I don't
care. I have a lot of issues with LeBron, but that's not one of them. Like, go ahead. It happened to work out where they were in Massachusetts at the same time, even though not super close, but still you were able to see them because they played at like noon or even earlier, right? We were watching the game on the air yesterday. So they played an early game, and then he was in there in time. So I have no problem with that.
The one thing I will say about what happened yesterday, because we have since seen it reported that at some point during the game, and this was evidently after 2 o'clock because we didn't see this happen while we had the game on in here, Bronny was standing, getting ready to do an inbounds play on the sideline, and he got hit in the back by a balled-up piece of paper.
Mm.
And the official immediately stopped the game. And, you know, let's find out where that came from. And all I could think of was, oh, God, please, not now. You know, somebody will turn this into, as it turns out, apparently it was a kid.
Yeah, good.
Which, I mean, I'm sorry, the kid threw something at Bronny James.
No, I know, but at least it doesn't turn into a whole, like,
you know, some 45-year-old resident of Amherst who decided, I'm going to plunk LeBron's kid.
No, wasn't that, thankfully. So it's much less of a non-story, or much more of a non-story, because it's just a stupid kid. You know, hopefully he gets a stern talking to, and then you kind of move on. But I'll tell you what, Dale, the play of the game might have been the play of the season last night, and that was Jaylen Brown removing the soul from LeBron James's body.
How about that?
That was incredible. And I think it's fair to say that the league, the National Basketball Association, owes Jaylen Brown an apology. Because Jaylen Brown took it to the hoop, dunked on LeBron. I mean, that's putting it so mildly. He did so much more than just dunked on LeBron.
It was an existential moment for Keith.
He removed his entire manhood and, dare I say, credibility as a basketball player was gone. Because Jaylen Brown put him on a poster.
Might be a little
much.
Put
him on a wallpaper. That could be your phone's wallpaper, perhaps, if you want.
Yours especially.
Yeah, your computer, whatever you want to do. And then what happens? They teed him up. Because the league is so obsessed and they're so protective of LeBron James. They're like, no, that's too much. That was too good of a play, Jaylen. You're going to get teed up. Because he yelled a little bit afterwards? What, because he looked in LeBron's direction? You can't look at LeBron now? If you dunk on LeBron.
He was sucking LeBron's soul out of his body through his eyes at that point.
He was. He was doing a Mortal Kombat finishing move, and you're like, T. So, thankfully, it wasn't, you know, a super close game, and that didn't come back to haunt him or anything, but that was just embarrassing. Let the guy dunk on him.
So, after the game, LeBron talked about the moment.
It's part of basketball. Guys, you go for blocks, you get blocks, you get dunks, you get crossed over at times, you get stops, take charges. That's all part of basketball. I think if you were to tally up my successful block attempts compared to my successful dunk ons, I think I'm kind of more like, so it's not the first time I've been dunked on, might not be the last time I get dunked on, but
won't be.
You know, Jalen's been playing exceptionally well this year, and you know, that was a good play.
You're a turd.
Will not be the last time you get dunked on. And now he's talking about the times he's blocked dunks and the times he's been dunked on. I don't know. I remember these. And do you want to know how personal he takes it? There was a story when he was doing one of his camps. Like, you know how a lot of players do camps? And they invite a lot of the best high school players in the country.
And it's always embarrassing because inevitably you'll get video of some NBA player, you know, completely undressing some 11-year-old.
Or, no, older than this. I'm saying camps like, this was a high school camp. And you remember Jordan Crawford? He actually played with the Celtics for a little bit. And so when he was in either high school or college, he was at one of these camps with LeBron. And Jordan Crawford dunked on LeBron. And LeBron made sure to find the video of it and make sure it didn't get out. He like went to like the people that were recording it and was like, make sure that this doesn't get released. So he is ashamed of what happened last
night. Self-conscious much?
A little bit. A little worried, and we'll always have that moment. And
you
now,
think
it's not the first time I've been dunked on.
Yeah, no, it wasn't. Jordan Crawford dunked right in your face.
You're not a little obsessed about LeBron, are you?
No, I'm not obsessed at all.
Do you think? I'm not.
I just have a great memory. I have like an elephant-like memory.
I have never seen anybody hate another human being like you hate LeBron James.
The damage is done, my friend.
It's fine. I'm not alone, Dale. There's more people like me out there.
No, you are alone. I'm not alone. There is no one who approaches your level.
I can't be alone right now.
Nobody is is as hateful as you are about LeBron James.
Well, I don't know if that's true. I'm sure there are scores of people out there that feel the exact same way. And what's really nice now is the two young guns for the Celtics, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, both have dunks on LeBron in their young careers. Remember, Jason Tatum did it in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Jaylen Brown did it last night. And LeBron James, I know he did. Oh, I've got all these block shots. Oh, yeah, you got all these block shots. Let's see. How many did you have last night? Zero. Zero blocks last night. Got dunked on last night. Saw that. That's one. Blocks. Let me see. They have it in the box score here. Oh, Anthony Davis had two. McGee had three. Go see. Zero. Zero blocks last night.
So I didn't watch the top 10 on SportsCenter. Did they neglect to include that?
That was actually
in the interest of protecting LeBron's reputation. We can't show that.
Yeah, they retired the video already. Yeah. They're like, yeah, it's too much. LeBron has a family. He was out. He was supporting his son. We gotta be, you know, talk that up. If it was up to me, that would have been play 1 through 10.
They should have a loop.
Yeah, different angles of it. Yeah. Right? Like, oh, here's the baseline shot. Oh, here's the, you know,
or
the
that technology
shot.
They have where they stop it and then they spin you around so that you get to see it from another angle.
It was incredible. It was absolutely incredible. And so and good to see those guys back, too, by the way. Kemba Walker, Jaylen Brown, who had missed some games. They both scored 20 points last night. And did you see this crazy stat, which they mentioned at the end? This is the first time in Kemba Walker's career that he has beaten LeBron James.
It's like, he was like 0-26 or something.
Insane,
lifetime.
Isn't it? Yeah. And I know he hasn't been on a lot of good teams, or at least, you know, the Hornets haven't been very good. But he's never, ever, and he's had a ton of cracks at it. And then, it's, you know, he's able to beat him with the Celtics. So I guess that was good. He can cross that off his to-do list. But this is good. I mean, I understand there's probably a couple ways to look at it because you could say, well,
where was this effort the last 10 games?
Correct. You could definitely say you beat the Lakers by 30, but you're losing to the Wizards without Beal and the Suns, period. And like, how does that happen? And that's fine. That's definitely the, you know, the glass half empty approach. I would say, if they lost last night, and if it was like reversed, say they got smoked by the Lakers, and now they've lost seven of nine or whatever, you're saying, what is going on? This team has no pulse. At least they responded. It was a TNT game. So actually, Charles Barkley and those guys were pretty funny about it too. But so they pretty significant game on the NBA calendar, home game, and you were able to respond and play like this. And so hopefully, it snowballs into more performances like this, even when LeBron James isn't on the other side. So, for example, next game they're playing Memphis. it's not the same cachet, right, as LeBron and Anthony Davis. It's Ja Morant. So are they going to be able to play up to this level still? Could this be something that pushes them forward? And they look back and they're like, you know, it was that Lakers game.
Once
you
beat the Lakers, around.
It could be. I mean, I'm obviously hopeful that it is.
It usually doesn't work that way, that a game turns things around.
No, but again, I think
I'd settle for a good back-to-back performance, a good back-to-back
effort. And that's how they got to start it, too. And if you look at the standings, you want to, you know, project forward. The Bucks are kind of running away with the conference. But then seeds 2 through 6 are separated by 2.5 games. And right now the Celtics are 4. And that is just so significant. Because if you're 2, you're playing a really easy opponent in the first round. And obviously if you're 2, 3, or 4, you get home court in the first round. Whereas if you fall to 5 or 6... now you have a losable first-round opponent on the road. So all these games matter, you know, the rest of the season for them.
A texter says, just think about how you feel about LeBron James.
Yeah.
That's how most of the country feels about Tom Brady.
Well, no, that's not true.
I think it is.
That can't possibly be true.
I think it's kind of true.
That can't be right.
Most of the country hates Tom Brady.
Yeah, but Brady doesn't. Now, I understand other fans,
they're
not
so
liking
sick
Brady.
They're so happy he's not back in the Super
but
Bowl.
But Brady doesn't bury his teammates like the way LeBron does.
No,
he doesn't talk about
not.
Himself and his accolades the way LeBron does. And he wouldn't be saying, oh, well, the number of touchdowns I've thrown to interceptions, it's way up here compared to way down here. So interceptions are part of the game. That's basically what LeBron did last night. I got dunked on. Yeah, okay, once ever. You're like, well, no, it's not once ever. You can just say it was a bad play or a really good play by Jaylen Brown. You don't have to tell us about all these block shots that you have.
I think other people hate Belichick as much as we hate LeBron.
Maybe.
That may be fair. That may be a better comparison.
Just because of the way he talks to the media and he's kind of a dinkish sometimes.
Yeah. If you were to tally up my successful block attempts compared to my successful dunk
successful
ons.
Successful block attempts?
Kind of more like.
So just your blocks. What do you mean your successful block attempts? Is that a stat? Where
I
find
I don't
that?
Know what that means?
Not coming across as this format is the fact that he had one hand going like
he's
this and one hand down.
Yeah, he's doing this stupid like this chart.
Your level's here. Yeah. You need to be way up here.
It's like LeBron. Okay, you've blocked shots in your career. You also just got absolutely faced by Jaylen Brown. I mean, he should be embarrassed. He should have ran right into the locker room and started taking a shower and getting his things and saying, "I'll see you guys later."
I gotta go now,
guys. That's it for me. I tried. Failed. I will see you guys later. Jaylen Brown, greater than me. That's what he should have said.
Let's not get slappy.
Jaylen Brown, better player right now.
Let's not get slappy here.
All right. Well, who dunked on who? Yeah.
Well,
who dunked on who?
That play, Jaylen Brown wins.
That was incredible.
I could just picture
what a,
you.
What a,
you needed a shower and a cigarette after that play, didn't you?
I lit up a Virginia Slims 120.
Fired off a Muppets tweet.
I did. I was puppet gifts everywhere. I unsheathed my sword, was waving that around the house, completely naked,
enjoyed
covered in
a
honey.
Nifty craft beer.
Oh, my God, Dale, it was incredible.
As
what
opposed
a night.
To the other parts of the night.
Yeah, I decided to have a beer on a Monday, which I occasionally will, because it's essentially the weekend.
Have you ever seen a grown man naked?
Last night you did. Last night, as soon as Jaylen Brown threw it down on LeBron James, he was naked the rest of the night. That was awesome. Like, let's be honest. Like, that's why you get up in the morning. That's why you watch sports. It's because of plays like that. Thank you, Jaylen Brown. I've never been a huge fan of Jaylen Brown, but last night,
you are.
You know what? I actually have
that's
a Jaylen Brown.
It's like you were a Kyrie Irving fan for a while.
You loved
you some Kyrie Irving.
Did you see this
until
idiot?
Until January 17th.
Did you see this idiot yesterday?
Yeah, I did. Well, he picked the right date.
We're
if he's
going to
make
Irving.
The comparison.
Yeah, I guess we can get there later on. But the Cliff Notes version, he compared himself in a straight face to Martin Luther King Jr.
Beyond the fact
I
that
I swear to God, it sounds like I made that up. It sounds like, nah, you're just burying the guy. Nope, that happened.
So beyond the point where they are both African-American males, did he have any other points of comparison?
Oh, yeah, just like the way he was treated versus the way Kyrie's treated. He was assassinated, one of the great civil rights leaders of all time, and Kyrie Irving plays basketball, which I'm not even sure he likes playing basketball. Nobody's making him play basketball, right? Is anybody got a gun to his head to play basketball? I don't know.
Is Martin Luther King Jr. a flat earth guy, too?
I doubt it.
I'm going to guess he was smarter than that.
I'm going to think he was probably much smarter.
He was much smarter than that.
I think he was quite intelligent.
We've teed it up. Let's
we want to hear this. This is
what Kyrie Irving said yesterday.
And when I was out for those 7 weeks and not saying anything and still people are still saying things about me, it's inevitable. You know, they crucified Martin Luther King for speaking about peace and social integration. You could go back to historical leaders and great people in society that do great things and they're still going to talk shit. It is what it is. Like, I know what I stand for. I'm a great family man. I have great values, core values. This basketball stuff is a game at the end of the day. It's dramatized. It's entertainment for people and fans. I'm a human being at the end of the day. I'm going to keep on reiterating that. But like I said, my focus is making sure my teammates are great and our organization is at a championship level.
He compared himself on MLK Day
to
Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who was assassinated.
Yeah.
And was a very important person.
Yes.
I would say Kyrie less so. Now,
he would not say more important.
Now, the day before, this is much less of an insult to, I don't know, human beings, but he compared himself to Dr. J, which you're like, all right, at least you're both really good basketball players.
And you're both have the last name Irving, although it's spelled differently.
Well, right. That was sort of his joke.
Yeah.
Was like, oh, well, the last time the Nets won the title, they had an Irving on the team. And you're like, ugh, just shut up. Just shut your mouth. And then he's the next day, Martin Luther King. Like, that one is just, it does. It sounds made up. Like, if you were just piling on Kyrie Irving for all the stupid things that he said, you're like, oh, yeah, I bet this guy thinks he's like Martin Luther King. No, he does. He even said so yesterday. So the Nets are living with that. Because he also didn't play yesterday. I think there was talk that he might play.
No,
he's got a bum hammy.
He's got a really bum hammy. I mean,
yeah. But overall, a great. So if you add that to the mix, a great day for the Celtics. They are further removed from that guy.
That guy.
He's doing that stuff for another team. And then you beat LeBron James by 30 points. You removed his soul from his body. Great night to be a Celtics fan.
Rich,
you know, they crucified Martin Luther King for.
No, they assassinated him.
Rich had an excuse to break out the sword.
Sword, oh yeah, flying around downstairs. Be careful, though, when you get so much honey with a sword.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you would think it would help the grip. It does not.
Be careful when you go to sheathe the sword if you're buck naked that stuff could happen.
Good point, I know.
You might sheathe it in the wrong place.
You could. It's a dangerous game that I play. Thank you, Shad.
But you're willing to play it on behalf of all of us.
That's right, because I had the Celtics going on the old big screen last night.
Who do you hate more now, Kyrie or LeBron?
That's a good question, Sean. It really is a good question.
That's why he hated Kyrie, because he apologized to LeBron.
I don't know. At least LeBron doesn't compare himself to, I don't know, some of the most tremendous civil rights leaders of our time.
That's true. He's kind of stopped short, but he has a much longer track record. LeBron's been bugging me since, like, 05. You know what I mean?
Kyrie only for a year.
I had to call Bron.
I mean, they deserve each other. They really do. I mean, Kyrie should just say, I want to play for the Lakers.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We've got some other things we'll add to the mix as well, including a big date in Patriots history that is today. We will talk about tonight at about 6 o'clock. We will find out who goes into the Baseball Hall of Fame. And there are a number of baseball analysts across the country who think that two guys who've never really been as close as you'd believe in the past are going to get over the hump tonight, including a guy around here who's a bit of a lightning rod.
Yeah, I have an issue with one of them.
Well, maybe not the one you think, but
I have an issue with one of them.
We've got, of course, we talked about the Celtics game last night. We've got some football to add into the mix as well. Mike Reese did a lengthy piece on SportsCenter today, breaking down possible destinations for Tom Brady. And ultimately, he came down with what he considered to be three finalists.
Ooh,
we'll talk about that as well.
Shortlist.
Yep. And we've got Kiefer Madness at 12:30 today as well. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. It's Dale and Keefe, and it's time to trend.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Now back to Dale and Keith, WEEI.
About 8 minutes ago, Pete Abraham of the Boston Globe tweeted out the following, quote, breaking news. Red Sox second baseman Dustin Pedroia has suffered what sources say was a significant setback with his left knee. His availability for at least spring training is questionable. Pedroia is discussing his options with his family, agents, and the Sox, unquote. It sounds as though this is the end.
I mean, did anybody expect anything from him?
I did not.
Right? He just didn't. And the guy had a good career, ended short by injuries. This is one of those knee injuries, though, that is just, I don't think anybody's come back from it, right? Steven Wright's out there taking all kinds of things, trying to get back from it. He can't. Dustin Pedroia's had all kinds of issues. And I don't know if it's because they really screwed him up that one time. Remember they brought him back for like three games, and then he was done again. I mean, he's just cooked. I mean, I don't blame him for not retiring, at least to this point, because he has a lot of money he can still collect.
Although, if he gets retired because of his inability to come back, he's going to get that money either way.
Yeah, so, I mean, if that's what it is and they can do that, then maybe that's the next course of action for him. But, no, he's done. I mean, you're not going to see Dustin Pedroia again.
I mean, I don't know how many people held out hope for that anyway, but it sounds as though he's finally gotten to that point where the discussion is taking place right now, according to Pete Abraham, with his family, his agents, and the Red Sox, and it sounds like it's the end.
He's played 9 games in the last 2 years.
Yep.
Right? And I just think that it's been it, right? I mean, I think even last year was wishful thinking. The year before, maybe there was a little bit more unknown, but it's not going to happen. And he's under contract for 2 more years. He's getting $13 million this year and then $12 million in 2021. But that'll be it. A nice, solid career for Dustin Pedroia. Obviously didn't end the way that he wanted to.
A career that was on a Hall of Fame track at one point. I mean,
he won the MVP, yeah, true.
MVP and, World Series champion. And I mean, he had that stuff going for him, and then unfortunately, that was it.
Yeah, that was it. And part of it is, the way that he plays, right? Which was both great and got him to that point.
Yes, to his credit, he never played anything less than all in.
Right.
And it ultimately
because that's what made him that player. So then now if he's banged up and he can't play that way, then he's done. I mean, overall, but I mean, a guy who came onto the scene, Rookie of the Year 1 year, MVP the next. Obviously, the World Series title his first year, another World Series title in 13. So, I mean, a really, really good career. 4-time All-Star, all of that stuff. But, we haven't seen him at, the top of his game for a really long time.
I guess the logical question, not if he should be the manager of the Red Sox. No, I don't think that.
No, maybe not.
But I wonder if he wants to be a coach. I mean,
does he want to stay in the game?
Who the manager is going to be. If it's Ron Renicki, does Renicki want to have, Dustin Pedroia as part of his coaching staff? I don't know. Who knows who the manager is going to be?
I mean, if I was him, I would just go home, collect that $23 million or $25 million owed to him over the next couple of years. And just, he's got young kids, right? So spend time with them a little bit. But Yeah, maybe. I'm sure there'll be some staff that would take him. Sure, Francona would love to have him, right? They're best buds.
Well, they can play cribbage together.
Play cribbage. They can keep the cribbage
stuff
thing
can
going.
Happen. So Major League Baseball, as we said, will announce the incoming class for the Hall of Fame at about 6 o'clock tonight. MLB Network has what they call they are tracking what is called the Baseball Hall of Fame Tracker. And what they do is some people have made their ballots known. Some people have said, this is who I voted for,
here it is.
And here's the reason why. Everybody's ballot is going to be made public, you know, after 6 o'clock tonight. And a lot of people have chosen the course of, here's who I voted for.
Right.
According to them, 51.5% of the ballots are now known as of this morning. 51.5%.
Yep.
Derek Jeter has been named on 100% of the ballots that are known so far. Larry Walker on 83.5%. Kurt Schilling on 78.8%. You need 75% for election. Those are the only three guys on the ballots that are known so far who will make the cut and be inducted into the Hall of Fame.
So I don't understand why Larry Walker's a Hall of Famer now when he's been on the ballot for 10 years. You go back to 2014, he got 10% of the vote, which maybe is a little low. I mean, the guy did win an MVP.
Yep.
But he's a Hall of Famer now? Or is it because all these guys are like, oh, this is his last chance, so let's get him in there. Like, you know me, I hate that. Like, unless there happens to be a year where it is absolutely
like nobody on the ballot.
Or no, like a million guys. Say there's a million guys on the ballot, so maybe you're not a first ballot Hall of Famer. But the whole thing on, well, I'm gonna hold my vote for a year because he shouldn't be in first ballot. I don't know. When you walk into Cooperstown and you're looking at the Hall of Famers, they either are or they aren't. Right? They either have a bust or they don't.
Yep.
So if you feel like they're a Hall of Famer, the first time they're eligible, you should vote for them. Again, unless there's 11 guys that you think are Hall of Famers, then somebody's not going to get your vote, right? But that's kind of rare. And I know there's sort of a log jam because the Royd guys are on there and everything else. But this seems so blatant that it's just, well, it's his last year. Like, wasn't Tim Raines there's like this big push for? It's like, all right, he either was or he wasn't.
The counter
Larry Walker's not a Hall of Famer, by the way.
The valid counter argument is, what, did his stats get better? From year one to year 10?
How many games has he played since 05? That'd be none. I just look at Larry Walker. Like, Manny Ramirez is nowhere near what Walker's numbers are voting-wise, right? No, like, based on the vote. And because Manny got popped, right? Obviously,
several times.
Some of these other guys, you're not really sure. Manny, you're sure. Manny got popped. Yeah, you're right, a couple of times. But Larry Walker, he won the MVP in 97 with Colorado, and he's had two top five MVP finishes for his entire career. He hit .313 for his career, but what if I told you he hit .381 at Coors Field? He played most of his career in Colorado, 10 seasons in Colorado, hit .381 there. Now, his splits aren't as dramatic as, say, a Dante Bichette, or I think it was like Andres Galarraga, like some of those guys. It was staggering, like the early 90s, mid-90s Colorado teams, and they were just ridiculous. But Larry Walker was still good other places. Hell, he was fifth in the MVP vote when he was in Montreal. So he had a good run before he even got to Colorado, but his MVP season came in Colorado. The ball is flying out of there. I don't know. I think Manny Ramirez is a better player than Larry Walker. I wouldn't vote for him. Whereas I would vote for Kurt Schilling. And I know a lot of media members or a lot of people with votes haven't because
he should be in the Hall of Fame before this.
He's a baseball as a baseball player. He's
That's
in.
All I'm talking
That's
about.
It.
Now, if you came to me with some, you know, steroid allegations that would change my mind, like I don't have a problem keeping Bonds or Clements or Ramirez out. You would let them in.
I would.
And I understand that. It's a perfectly valid and reasonable argument.
Yep.
Schilling doesn't have any of that. What he's got is some political baggage for some people.
Right.
But I'm sorry, that does not apply to me. It does not apply.
No, clearly.
I'm not voting for him for the Hall of Fame because he collected Nazi memorabilia. Heard that one a few years ago.
That was definitely one of them. Listen, I mean, you shouldn't have to like every person that you vote for. Like, if you're one of the baseball writers, it's not the guy, I don't like some of the memes that he tweeted. Listen, he could be the worst guy. You might not like the guy at all, but are you trying to put the best players in? What did you think of him as a player? You know, when he was winning, what, he won 3 World Series, I think. He won... He never won the Cy Young, but he was the runner-up like three different times. He was a World Series MVP. His playoff stats are really what push him over the top. His
For
regular
me, that's
season
the
stats
difference.
Are right. No, I mean I think he's in. Now he's not as much of a lock as say like Clemens or Bonds. Like if there was no steroid thing, Clemens and Bonds right. are both 100% in.
They would have been 100%. They would have been.
Whereas Schilling, there's more of a debate. You know, even if you take all of his political stuff aside, there's more of a good debate. But I think if you're letting some of these other pitchers in that we've seen in the past, Curt Schilling definitely belongs in there.
He would, if I had a vote, and I don't,
yeah.
he would get my vote.
Yeah.
Now, at the same time, I would not vote for Clemens or Bonds because I disagree with you about the idea
yes.
of performance-enhancing
yeah.
drugs. Now, you look at the rest of it, nobody else is going to get in based on this percentage of ballots that are known yet. Bonds is at 71.7%.
Which would be the highest for Bonds, yes. I believe. Bonds last year was 59.1%. So I think it's starting to be some of the maybe newer voters, right? Some of the older school
Entirely
guys
possible.
Are maybe losing their
yep.
votes. And now some of the younger guys who are like, listen, we're putting him in there. You know, baseball looked the other way. And now we're going to punish these guys like retroactively. Like,
and
no, we're
Clemens is at 70.8. Those are the only five guys, the three who they say would get in
yeah.
based on a 75% of the vote. And the two guys who were just out, Bonds and Clemens, the only five guys who are above 50%. Omar Vizquel is next, and he's at 49.5.
Omar Vizquel is an interesting case, though, because I obviously look at hitting stats and I look at. For me, the easiest thing to, because it's hard to compare eras and like what 500 home runs means isn't the same as what it used to, or, you know, even 3,000 hits isn't really the same. I look at where these guys finish in MVP votes and
yep.
Cy Young votes, because that's the best way to determining how good they were for their era and comparing them against other guys of their generation. So Omar Vizquel is a tricky one because, I don't know, is there two shortstops defensively better than him all time? Like he's a tricky kind of case because
yep.
he was so good at that position. But I don't think he gets in. I mean, I'd vote for, I mean, you know me, I have all the Vroid guys. I'd go Bonds, Clemens, I'd go Schilling, Jeter, Manny, Sheffield, Sammy Sosa, I think would be my ballot.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We'll dive into the phone calls with you coming up next. Kiefer Madness coming up at 12:30 today. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now back to Dale and Keefe on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Not just an 11-2 record in the postseason, but you were 4-0 and your teams were 5-0 in elimination games. You've got the bloody sock game that's part of baseball lore. In my mind, I would have voted for you on the first ballot.
Well, and I appreciate that. And all the things you just mentioned, if I don't get in the Hall of Fame, they're still there. And I might. I still have my 3 rings and my trophies. So, you know, I think now, I'm at a point now where I can say if I don't make it, I would be disappointed. But the things that I earned and won in my career won't go away if I don't make the Hall of Fame.
Curt Schilling talking with Bob Costas. Just to recap here. Curt Schilling is a World Series MVP. Last year, he was on 60.9% of the ballots, the best mark by any player who didn't get inducted.
Yeah, and we've seen sort of a trend where those guys that are in the high 60s 1 year get in the next
yeah.
year. That happens a lot.
Top 30 pitcher all-time by WAR. 4 top 4 finishes in the Cy Young.
Yeah, like 3 second places, I believe.
Yep.
You mentioned 3 World Series titles, or he mentioned it there. And one thing I like about it is he says it would bother him if he didn't get in. Where, how many times have you heard players?
I can't do anything about it.
I think
it.
I'm pretty sure Clemens is guilty of this, where he's like, you know, I know what my accomplishments are. It doesn't really matter what people say. Like, you don't care if you get into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Like, come on. I think it might matter to you a little bit. Now, I could see you justifying it and being like, it's all these writers that are voting. It's not like my peers are voting me in there. It's like these guys are kind of control it. You can kind of write it off, but I'm pretty sure the Hall of Fame is important to all of these guys. And so maybe Curt Schilling will get the call. And by the way, his speech will be
epic.
Something. might piss off a lot of people. Might be ridiculous, but it'll be worth watching.
This probably goes against what would be, you know, the normal way of looking at it.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess complete, total, you know,
shot in the dark,
that he'll leave the politics out of it.
That he doesn't.
That he will separate what would be, you know, the pinnacle of his baseball career and something that, as he admitted, he's been thinking about for a while.
I bet he's going to use it as an opportunity to relaunch a new video game company.
Could be.
And say,
maybe.
What, guys? I just need a few $1 million in backing, and we're going to launch this thing. I got a great idea for an RPG game.
That might not go very well.
Send me your money. GoFundMe.
617-779-7937. Chad's in Chelsea. Hey, Chad.
How are you guys?
Hi, Chad. What's going on?
Good for Schilling. Also, he also had a couple 300 strikeout seasons that don't hurt either.
Nope. That's true. Good point.
My question for Rich is, both of you actually, all these idiots that I keep hearing that want the phony Veritek as the new Red Sox manager, when he was the captain, has this ever been brought up? I listen all the time. When he was the captain of the team and the chicken and bear thing was going on behind the best manager of all times, Francona, behind his back, did he ever come out and speak out against anybody or take leadership as the captain of the team when this was going on to get Francona basically fired? I just don't understand how anybody wants this guy as the manager of our team.
I think he got to wear a nice C on his jersey, though. Remember that?
If he's the new manager, will they put an M on
they
there?
They should, just so people know who's who.
I hated the C on the baseball
bad
jersey.
I don't
hear a lot of people pining for Jason Veritek to be the next manager.
I think that
the Red Sox have that in mind at some point down the road.
No, I'm good. I'm good with that. I don't need Jason Veritek.
I think the people who say David Ortiz would be the perfect manager. Well, based on what? We all love him. That's fine.
I don't know.
Why do you think he'd be a great manager?
I think their big question they have to answer is this a bridge manager or is this the manager that they envision?
Is this your forever manager?
Is it a forever manager? It's a big question. Kind of late in the game to get a forever manager, isn't it? Is that the best term we have?
I made that up.
Can we come up with a better term?
It seems way late in the game, and you've got three teams who are trying to find their next manager.
And you see who the Astros are interviewing. I don't want
Dusty
any of those
Baker
guys. Dusty Baker and Buck Showalter and was it John Gibbons? Like, I don't want any of those guys.
Mike Socha, Bruce Bochy, not interested in either of those guys.
Brad Ausmus, maybe. I like the Mark Kotze idea. But then with some of these guys, if you're a bench coach with another team right now, can you leave the end of January and just take a manager job? Like, obviously you're getting promoted, but I don't know how that works.
My guess is only if a team said, okay, you've been given a chance, we're going to let you go. I don't think you just say, hey, listen, fellas, I know I had a contract, but they offered me a job, I'm out of here.
So I don't know if that takes away a lot of really good candidates, and then are they left with just, hey, Ron Renicky, you're going to suck it up and do this for a year.
Or Carlos Fables, sir.
Yeah, I don't know, man. They're in a tricky spot. That's why I would have stuck with Alex Cora.
617. By the way, there's some conflicting stuff about Alex Cora, which we'll get to next hour. Some conflicting news reports about Alex Cora, including somebody on our own staff here.
So somebody is really right and somebody is really wrong.
And
somebody
there's
is really
no
smart,
alternative.
Somebody's really dumb.
One or the
That's
other.
That's what it is.
617-779-7937. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts. parts.